With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All I can say is welcome, welcome, welcome. Such an amazing turnout. Welcome to Velocity Potty's very first intro to racing event. It's amazing to see so many women turning up and showing that they're interested in racing. One of the interesting things that we always, interesting, I put in inverted commas, that we hear is that women aren't, female cyclists aren't that competitive. Aren't that interested in racing. Well, your presence today really debunks that myth. So thank you. So tonight, one of the reasons why we put on this intro to racing event is really a chance for you guys to hear some of the common questions about getting into racing answered. And then also, everyone's on their own specific kind of journey. And the chance during a social to kind of ask racers your own specific questions about racing is an amazing opportunity. So without much ado, I kind of want to do a little bit of a audience participation exercise. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard about chain gangs. Has anyone taken part in a chain gang or no? Okay, we've got a few hands there. So just to kind of put into context what a chain gang is you have two lines of riders, and essentially one line of riders is kind of going a little bit faster than the other one, and essentially you have one rider at the top kind of going, it depends on the side, goes a little bit faster than the other and comes onto the other side. So it's kind of a nice little rotation. And the reason why I bring up a chain gang, and I saw some hands raised, is that racing, if you can participate in a chain gang, you basically have the skills to race. So you're used to cycling in close proximity to a rider. You have the fitness. You also have the bike handling skills. And for those riders, racers, or potential racers who haven't done a chain gang, I think looking around the room, just taking note of those riders who have said they have been, in the social, that's a good opportunity for you guys to kind of talk to those wannabe riders who've been in chain gangs and have learned those skills and understand kind of some of the hints and tips about to do so. Because chain gangs are quite a nice, easy entryway into racing. So now the whole point of this the event, we're going to split it into two. As I mentioned, we're going to have some intros from the racers. Lovely racers who have volunteered some of their time. They're going to give a introduction to themselves, some of their motivations for racing. But then I'm going to ask them some of the common questions we also have about racing. So we're going to cover a few different disciplines. So with that to do, let's start with road crit racing. So, Miriam and Honor, if you don't mind sitting up a little bit higher so everyone can see your beautiful faces. So, road crit racing is typically the first type of racing most people get into. It's done on road bikes, so it's road bikes with gears, with brakes, But the kind of crucial thing is it's on closed circuit, so there's no traffic. So as it's a kind of the first type of road racing that people get into, and I'll pose this question first to Miriam. How good do you have to be? How good do you have to be to race? And how do you prepare yourself? When I first raced, do I need a new bike? Miriam, over to you.
Well, it depends what kind of bike you have at the moment. You describe the kind of bike you need. It needs to have gears. It needs to have brakes. It probably ought not to have a basket and mudguards and panniers. Nothing wrong with that for the commute, but you're not going to get too far on that in a crit. Do you need a fancy bike? No, you do not. Do you need deep section wheels? No, you do not, but I still want some. So chances are, if you've got a road bike and it's in good working order, then that's a bike good enough to race crit. How good you need to be at riding it? Well, as you said, crit races, you're riding on a closed circuit. You're probably going to be riding for somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour. And you're going to be riding quite fast for that period of time. So you need to be able to ride your bike fairly fast for about an hour. Like, that's probably a good ballpark to aim for. In terms of how you prepare for that kind of racing, well, you'll be looking at doing some slightly longer rides than you do in a crit. So you need to be able to ride, I'd say, like 40 miles with a, you know, reasonable degree of comfort is kind of a good thing to aim for. Riding in groups is good preparation, but if you don't have the opportunity to do that because you're not in a club or you don't ride with other people, I wouldn't let that put you off too much. Like, don't worry about showing up at a race and you're going to be stuck in this massive peloton of women and it's going to be really terrifying and they're going to be railing the corners and you won't know what to do. Like, that probably won't happen in your first race, because if you're anything like me in your first race, you will show up, imagine you're going to win, and you'll be straight off the back watching everyone else rail the corners as you can really just go around very slowly questioning your life choices. So don't worry too much about the idea that you need to show up and be amazing. You need a reasonable degree of fitness, you need a good working bike, and you need the enthusiasm to show up. Figure out what it's about, have a go, and if you like it, or if you don't do well, you still might like it, and figure out what you need to do next time to come back and do better.
Great. That is a fantastic answer. Thank you very much, Maria.
Pleasure.
Thank you. And over to Anna. So give me a bit of background of, you know, your racing, but also Miriam touched on a very key point, which is about being dropped. I know for me, I started racing in January this year. I am still being dropped. What does that mean? What does that mean for your racing? Just give us a bit of your point of view.
I wouldn't know.
Lies, lies, a woman lies.
I have, of course, I've been dropped. I would say, like, starting out, I didn't get dropped that much, but only because I left it so late to get into racing. I was, like, strong and fit and thinking about racing for so long, and then I didn't, like, know anyone. I didn't have, like, a club supporting me. Well, I did, but there was no women in it. I've left that one now. I just procrastinated it for so long. And then when I finally got involved, I had the legs. So in some respect, yeah, I kind of can't relate. It sounds terrible, doesn't it? To, like, getting dropped. But I kind of regret that. I think it's much more sensible to just get stuck in. I fully regret not doing it the year earlier. Getting dropped for my first few races, you would learn so much more. Like, I would be a better cyclist now had I got stuck in earlier, because I would have got that greater amount of experience. I think, like, getting dropped really isn't embarrassing at all. I have since been dropped. Like, you start racing against other levels and you're like, okay, I'm awful. There's absolutely no shame in it whatsoever. Like, for one, I don't think people care, but I don't even think people really notice. Like, it's completely understandable to think that it's embarrassing to, like, be riding around on your own. And maybe there's some people watching, but, like, guaranteed, anyone watching is just thinking you're sick because you're racing your bike. And anyone in the race who's noticed that you've been dropped has been there themselves. So there's absolutely no shame in it whatsoever. And it's just a good workout then. You just think, okay, I'm off the back, but let's make the most of this. If it's Hog Hill, like, it's a horrible time, but you feel great after, and everyone's always really nice. No one's like, haha, you're slow. They're like, great job. Yeah. Come back next time. You learn from it. You always learn from it, and you're always that much better. You're going to have to look at the long game and be like, okay, this was a rubbish race, or, like, first race was not good, or I'm getting drops. But, like, long term, you're going to be better for that. You're going to be better for those bad experiences, so... The point is, it just doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
No, I couldn't agree more. I think, for me, getting dropped, you know, it's a tough experience, but then at the same time, just holding on to the bunch, you know, might be, for each race I've done, I feel like I can hold on 30 seconds, a minute more. And that, for me, is a massive win. And that's also the fun of racing, is just seeing those material gains.
I think as well, like, even if you've got dropped or a race breaks up and there's a few different groups on the road at this point, or you're off the back or whatever, it doesn't mean you stop being competitive. It just means maybe you change your race for you a little bit. So, like, if you're going to do a hill circuit, say at Hog Hill, which is really prone to breaking up because you've got to climb every lap, and, like, that tends to break up. You'll often have a group go off, and you might have, like, a middle group, and then you'll get drop riders at the back. And even if you're that last person, still treat that like it's still a race. Don't just write it off. But then your goal is like, well, can I chase that person? Can I catch up with that person who's one ahead of me? Or if there's people behind you, it's like, make sure you don't get caught by them. It's still a race. It's just slightly different then. You just kind of shift your goals.
I couldn't agree more. I've definitely been in races where I've been dropped, and then I catch up with some of the riders in front of me because they just went too hard.
It feels great.
And it's just this fantastic feeling. I couldn't recommend it more. Right, guys, thank you both so much.
Okay, so if we could go to actually Nelsie and Kaz.
Don't want to kill anyone. Just drop it on the head.
Oh, no. So we are moving on to fixed crits. So the difference with fixed crits, still in closed circuits, but here you're on fixie track bikes, where you have no brakes, and also you can't freewheel, so your legs keep moving. Very cool. I'm not gonna lie, whenever I see the races, I'm just like, wow, these people are very cool. But the lack of brakes, for me, that's slightly nerve-wracking. So, I've got a question for you, Nelsie. When you first started racing fixed crits, how did you get over the lack of brakes?
I started track. So, I don't know, I guess I find it a bit more safer with no brakes, purely because there's no chance of anyone stopping in front of you suddenly. So you just feel a bit more like, I feel in control. And I did a road crit and I did feel the difference. Like, I felt a bit more like, just a bit unsteady. Maybe also because I'm so used to riding a fixed bike. So that's my only way of commuting was on a fixed bike with brakes. So I'm not going to do that in London. There's no way. I don't trust my legs. Or pigeons, or people, or anything. So, so the transition was fairly easy, and track was a really good place to start, kind of learning to get used to the no brakes and learning to look when to move. So translating that to fixed crits wasn't easy, but it wasn't too difficult either. So it wasn't too bad.
How about cornering?
Yeah, that was difficult.
I was going to say, that's the thing that
took a lot of practice. I guess because on the rows, I can, like, brake and then I can corner. But I did a few training sessions where you learn to corner, and it's not just by yourself, you're learning to corner with people next to you, and that is just another ball game where I just kept slowing down slowly in order to corner and not take anyone out. But I think the best way that I learned was doing the race, basically. There's an amount of training that you can do to get fitness, but in order to get used to riding in a bunch, going around a corner in a race scenario, is you just have to race, you just have to do it. And I didn't know that until I did the race, until I was in it, and I was like, okay, I'm learning. No matter, like, forget the position, at least this is the best way to learn. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Nancy.
No worries.
So, you mentioned how you felt a little bit safer, actually, racing fixed bikes. Kaz, now, question Hello. Is about crashes. So, it could be my perception, mm-hmm. but one of the things that people always say they're very nervous about getting into races is about the crashing. And with fixed crits, the concern is, without brakes, how do I avoid a crash? And so I'd love to get your ideas, your thoughts about crashing. Not your thoughts, but how to avoid crashing, and also some of the common causes.
Okay, so I think fixed crits probably have an unfair image created of them that involves crashing, which isn't helped by the fact that there's various fail videos on YouTube, etc., that feature big high-profile crashes from things like Red Hook Crit, where a motorbike stalled in the front of a peloton of riders, which caused a pile-up, which has nothing to do with racing and purely to do with a motorbike stalling. But in terms of my experience of fixed crit racing, I would say that I find it much, much safer than road crits. Like Nelsie said, if you haven't got brakes, no one can slam the brakes on. So that takes that out of the equation completely. As soon as you've clipped in, you don't need to stop until you've finished. So there isn't the issue of needing to stop at any point in an emergency situation, unless there's a crash, but that's not very frequent. I've not been in many races where there's been a serious crash, and I've raced Red Hook Crits in Milan, I've raced in London, I've done the Thunder Crits, the Ishuk Crits in West London, and I can't count 5 times when there's been a crash, and I don't think there's been any serious ones. So I wouldn't want that to put anyone off, because I don't think that's a fair thing that happens. In terms of the ways that you could avoid it, obviously it's practicing your racecraft and practicing cornering. Obviously on a track bike, you go around the corner at the speed that you enter it. So your only option to go around a bit slower is to go a bit slower beforehand. That doesn't mean you're going to do a sick whip skid just for the corner, because that's going to cause a crash. Don't do that. You'll see that if you watch a women's fixed crit, no one skids. If you watch the men, they skid. There's far more crashes in the men's races. If you are unpredictable at any point when you're racing, that's when a crash happens. If you're looking around you and you're paying attention and you're looking before you move and you're seeing if someone's there and you're speaking to the other racers around you, they're listening, they're looking out for you. Even if you don't speak the same language, you can still just be like, hey, hey, hey. And, you know, you can even touch someone and be like, tell them you're coming. You can always make room. People will try and make room when there isn't room. You've just got to get your sharp elbows out and not let them pass. It's fine. But, you know, this weekend was Thundercrit on sea in Eastbourne, and I was riding behind women that were slowing down into the corners when I wouldn't have needed to slow down. So it's not always the case that you need to slow down into a corner. You can just take it. It's like knowing the line to get round at the speed that you need to. So you're going on the apex and you're coming out the other side. You can learn that. My team, North London Thundercats, we run training sessions at the Lee Valley closed road circuit. And I think that I don't know if anyone's ever been to any of those sessions, but they're open to anyone. You do need to have a track bike. You can ride there with brakes and take them off when you're there. And we're more than happy to go through cornering with you and teach you how to ride in close proximity to other riders. We've had women turn up to those sessions that have never ridden a fix before and have left having ridden quickly with other people around the circuit, who've then gone on to enter fixed crits. So, you know, yeah, don't let the idea of crashing put you off. It's not that common, really.
I couldn't agree more. So I might have been one of those women who turned up to one of your skill sessions, and I have to say, definitely improved my cornering. I mean, just understanding how to keep a line, and it's really translated for me very well into kind of road racing, road crits. So thank you very much, guys. And Aline and Rosie, you're both up for road racing. So road racing, this is actually on an open road where you have rolling road closures. So I did my first road race probably about 3 weeks ago, and it was quite an experience having kind of the riders, the noise, but also the kind of the excitement of so many people around you and actually on a proper road. That was something that I'd never really experienced before. It was absolutely fantastic. So you guys, Annalie and Rosie, tell us about your first road race.
So my first road race was probably a year and a half ago, and it was a category 2, 3, 4 race, so you don't have the elites and cat ones in there. And it was in February, the weather wasn't great. I think that might have been your first road race too.
No?
No,
I did mine earlier.
Ah, okay. And I remembered chasing every attack down. And then I accidentally got off the front, and I was like, well, I guess I'll push on. And I thought it was the last lap. And then I crossed the finish line, and it wasn't the last lap. So I had to keep going. But it was a great experience. And I, like, immediately got hooked and did my next one.
Just to say, that wasn't my first road race, but I was there and I binned it in a corner behind you. Trying to chase back onto the group that had left me. But I was told it was the most spectacular sit down of the day, so I've got that to my palmares. Is it my turn now?
It is.
Oh, okay. So segueing on to my first road race, I think my first road race was 2017, which feels like an awfully long time ago to still be not awesome at them. It was a race in Buckinghamshire, famous for its potholes. Lovely county. And I had no expectations going into it whatsoever. I had no idea what to expect, but I'd raced a couple of crits the year before, and I just knew that road racing was something that I just really had to give it a go. I found myself a teammate. I was with Islington at the time, and we rocked up to this thing. The clubmate was a second cat. She was very accomplished. She knew exactly what she was doing, and there was me, like, hanging out at the back in my jersey and shorts, and all's going well swimmingly in the bunch, like, oh god, I'm actually doing it, like the sort of the sheer wave of panic of like, oh god, I'm actually doing this now, oh god, now what? And unfortunately a car decided to pull into the path of the bunch, and that resulted in a enormous, like, concertina effect going through the bunch, and everyone but one person stayed upright. I went over the handlebars into the dirt. A couple of people behind me went into the back of me. They got up, dusted themselves off because they were actually bike riders, and went off. And I kind of sat there in the dirt like, what just happened? But it was such a valuable experience for me because it gave really sharp clarity to how much more I still had to learn and how much more I wanted to improve my bike handling, because had I known about braking and moving your weight back and which brakes to apply and not, like, panicking, I would have stayed up on my bike and I would have still been in that race. So it although it wasn't an awesome outcome, like, longer term, it gave me that clarity of wanting to just, like, learn more and be a better bike rider. So kind of wins and losses there.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And I think that sums up very nicely racing. Some wins and losses, but you keep going because it's actually a lot of fun. One thing I kind of wanted to highlight as well, a difference from road racing compared to crits that we've talked about, is the length of the distance. So typically road races are much longer. So the one that I did was 80 kilometres, 50 miles. So with that distance, my question is, how on earth do you kind of fuel for something like that, Annalene?
So the standard answer would be gels and bars. They say about 2 gels and a bar per hour. I don't stomach gels very well, so I try and eat real food. It could be anything from, like, rice cakes. You can find, like, a recipe that, like, Team Sky uses, and you can mix it up. I eat Haribo a lot. because I sometimes struggle eating on the bike because you're just so focused on the race. I always make sure that I have a bottle with something that has calories in it. So it could be, like, an isotonic drink. I often drink Lucozade. It just depends on what you like. I would always make sure that you've tried it and tested it on a training ride. Do not ever, like, eat anything new during a race, because that could go quite wrong.
I have an anecdote about caffeine gel if anyone is interested afterwards.
I have one about a gel as well. It did not go well.
Yeah, it's not pretty when you haven't tried it before. But yeah, I would definitely recommend eating real food, and then maybe towards the end of the race have a gel. Unless you really, really like gels, then go for it throughout the whole race.
Thank you. And Rosie, this is a question that I know I definitely get very worried about going into my next and future road races, is getting pulled. So what is actually getting pulled? And once you explain that, why road race when there's that possibility?
That's a good question.
Tough one as well.
Fortunately, I have lots of experience in this area. So the sort of getting pulled from a race is essentially when you have lost contact with the front group of the race, the main kind of peloton, if you will. You're behind with sort of a gap that could be sort of several minutes long, and you might be with a group, you might be by yourself, and getting pulled from that race is the organizer or the commissaire deciding that it's no longer safe for you to be out there, and sort of calling time on your participation in the race. That might be one lap before the end. It might be several laps before the end. I was in one race where the guideline was, if you are more than 10 minutes off the back of the group, we will pull you and you'll be pulled from that race. It sounds quite harsh, but it's all about safety. It might be to do with the circuit, the amount of traffic. It might just be a decision that the organizers have made at the time. There's no hard and fast rule as to when you might get pulled from a road race, but bearing in mind that kind of bubble that you're in with a closure only applies if you're in that main bunch. So there is a risk to you if you're outside of that bubble, and if the organisers deem it to not be safe enough, they're well within their right to pull you from a race. It sucks when it happens, I'm not going to lie. You're even though you're not in contention for a win or a top 10 or whatever it is that you're kind of maybe going for, you still want to be part of that race. You still want to be part of it, participating, and kind of, yeah, it does suck, but I need somewhere to go with this. It does suck, but just knowing... Oh, babe. That's okay. You know, it sounds like he's empathizing with me. Oh, Bagsy, it's okay. I'm all right, honestly. No, the point is, every time you do a race, you learn something. And even if you get pulled from that race, you've still learned something. And if you love it and you enjoy it and you finish that race and you go, oh yeah, that was, you know, it was tough, but I learned something, then there's no reason why you shouldn't be giving it a go again and again and again, because eventually you will stay with that front bunch and you won't get pulled from that race, and all that hard work will be 100% worth it. And it is the best feeling in the world to cross that line, not first, not 10th, like maybe like mid bunch, but you're in that bunch and you finished it and you completed that full distance, and it feels so good. So that's why.
Brilliant answer. Excellent. Thank you, guys. Who's next? So now we're up for track. Let's move from roads to track. Yui, Hannah, come on up. So with track, we actually have two types of disciplines. We have sprint and endurance. Now, with sprint, we're going to start with sprint. So Yui, what does sprint involve, and how did you get into sprint, track sprint?
Okay, so like track is quite niche. You're more likely to own a road bike than a track bike. But that don't let that stop you from racing. I just want to say, like, I did my first race at Herne Hill on a hire bike, and like that was 2 years ago, and I've made like loads of progress since then. And then sprint track cycling is even more niche. Think like fast bikes, aero wheels, but like they're a nice thing to have. But again, you don't have to have them. I did my first sprint race on a bike loaned to me by my old club. And it's racing that takes place over really short distances. So there's a mixture of time trials where you might be on the track, like either by yourself or with one other person, but they're on the opposite side of the track. So it's literally just you in this bubble, like riding around for 500 meters. There's match sprinting. So two of you on the track kind of playing a cat and mouse game, psyching each other out, which is really quite fun.
It's awesome to see.
And then probably my favorite track race is the Kirin, which is the one where you see it's kind of like motorbike on a track pacing around like six or so riders for a few laps, and then it's kind of full gas till the end. So I switched over to track sprint towards the end of last year, but I started out my career as a cyclist doing road crits and endurance riding. And I think I was kind of exposed to track sprint through racing at Herne Hill, where they do a women's league, and they had a mix of endurance and sprint events, and then also taking part in Omniums, where again they have a mixture of sprint and endurance events. And I found that I was a bit better at the sprint stuff, and then decided that I wanted to race at University Nationals, and figured sprinting was my best chance. And it was, and I kind of stuck at it since then.
Excellent, thank you. And Hannah, tell us about your journey into track sprint, and how do you train for it?
Well, my journey, I sort of feel a little bit of a fraud because I've only just started sprinting probably a few months ago, maybe 4 or 5 months ago. So I started track cycling at Herne Hill 2 years ago, and I hadn't cycled before that at all. Sorry. So I slightly had a midlife crisis, and I went to support my husband racing, and I saw the track and thought, I've got to have a go at this looks awesome. So it's probably a good thing because I'd never ridden fixed before. I wasn't too worried about it. I just thought, it's a bike, everyone's cycling. How hard can it be? So fast forward, and I'm sort of addicted now. 2 years ago, I started and I was going to the women's session. So on Sunday nights, they do a 2-hour women-only session. And I started going every week to that and just loving it. I mean, it was a bit scary to start with, I'm not going to lie. Just getting used to riding in a bunch and being close to other riders and the no breaks. But going every week, I started making a few friends. It started getting easier. And just loved it. And I'd be so nervous before, but then afterwards I'd be on such a high, like it's the best thing ever. So fast forward a little bit to the following year, I was thinking about doing Women's League, because they do three categories of racing at Women's League. They do a beginners, which is a C, the intermediate is a B, and then the A's. So if you've never raced before, the C category for Women's League is a brilliant place to start because it's for where everybody else starts. So you're with a group of people who've never raced before and who are new, and you've probably met already on the Sunday sessions. So I started there and sort of got bullied into doing Women's League by other people and a group of women. I was also slightly annoyed because a group of women showed up. I'd been going a year at this point, and they turned up, done their induction, and just, right, we're racing. I was like, hang on a minute. I've been coming a year, and you're just going to turn up and start racing. I was like, I have to do this now. So anyway, fast forward another year. So I had a go last year and loved it. It was scary, but so much fun, and there's so much support at Herne Hill. You know, the women there are brilliant. And then they started telling me things like, the World Masters, you should try that. I was like, what's this? So I'm in my 40s, I'm not a youngster. So for me to race with my own age category, I was like, ooh, I'm not going to be chasing all these young kids anymore, which I can't keep up with. So this year I just did the National Masters in Newport, and I decided to go for sprint. And I decided to do that because I think I was better at it. It's shorter distances. I felt I was more successful over shorter distances. So that's how I sort of got into it. And it was other women at the track that were just like, you have to do it. It's such a supportive environment. It's so much fun. So that's how I got where I am now. Types of training for it.
Lots of gym stuff.
Yeah, it's not your long endurance Kent rides for hours on end. It's a little bit restrictive in some ways.
When I got into sprint, it's very weird because if you go to the track at Lee Valley, you'll do your efforts between the endurance blocks, and the endurance riders will be on for about 15 minutes, and then you're up for like 5 minutes, and then you're sat there for 15 minutes. You're like, am I getting my money's worth? But the more you get into it, you realize like when you're like getting that much out of yourself in a really short amount of time, you do need to sit down for 15 minutes.
There's a lot.
I am quite enjoying it.
Sitting down and comfy chairs, which is weird for cycling, isn't it? Everyone just sits down all the time. But yeah, it's quite intense, the training. There's a lot of gym work, which I'd not done before. It was quite a new thing. But it's made such a big difference to my cycling, I can't tell you. I'd encourage you all, even if you don't want to do sprint. And if, you know, maybe it's not everyone's cup of tea, but it makes such a difference.
I think, like, I really enjoy being in the gym, but again, it's not for everyone, but it's quite nice to have that variety to your training. So, like, you're not always on a bike, like, 6-7 days a week. You can go and move in a different way and, like, learn more about how your body moves too, which I really like.
And when you say gym training, what does that involve? Are you thinking squats?
So, yeah, like, squats, like, doing stuff with free weights, but it could also be, like, working on your core stability, which is great for all types of riding, not just for track sprinting.
Excellent. Thank you very much, guys. So, moving on to endurance track.
Thank you.
Marta Denise, come on up.
I'll try. Yeah.
So we've just heard about sprint track events. Martha, what's the difference between sprint and endurance?
So I'm going to caveat this by saying I'm not a sports scientist, so I can't sort of say with any authority what the difference is. I think most of track involves endurance riding, but as Yui and Hannah were alluding to, like, there is this sort of corner, this sort of more niche corner of sprint. I think the difference is that even though Hannah and Yui excel in endurance riding as well, I think what distinguishes endurance from sprint riders is that they just sort of have that engine. They can keep going for a lot longer. And you mentioned chain gang at the beginning of the talk. And I found that something that really benefited me. So I ride with Brixton. I can see a few Brixton members in the background. Way! and I was really fortunate because every week in the winter, they have a chain gang session at Herne Hill, which we do on road bikes. There are three speed groups. There's the fast lot, the medium lot, and the slow lot. But even the slow lot will average around sort of 30 kph. And it's just doing half-lap changes for about an hour and a half. So you're on the drops, going round, 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 doing a turn, getting onto the back, going round, round, round. And it's dark, it's cold, but it's the perfect way to improve your engine. And I think that's important when you're racing endurance track outdoors, and our season starts in April and ends in September. So there's no racing in the winter unless you race indoors. So anything you can do to focus on really building your engine in those cold, long, dark months is going to help you.
Excellent. Thank you. And Denise, so you've done quite a few disciplines in racing. So you're doing track now, but how has track helped in your other disciplines that you race?
I think it's probably more the other way around, that the other stuff helps me with track. I mean, my first road bike, my first bike was actually a mountain bike, and for many years I couldn't see why someone would do anything else than just like shredding down trails and doing downhills. But when I got my first road bike, I was just surprised how much it helped me become a more, like, a stronger mountain biker, how much it helped on those downhills with just like the physical gain that I had from training on a road bike. And then the last 2 years I got really experimental, and I think I just got bored with doing the same thing, so I've tried loads of different things, and they did have a big impact on my like riding. I mean, starting with like Thundercrit this year, where I joined the sessions, and the training sessions, and going around like a corner without being able to stop pedaling and having no brakes, and really like learning how to lean into a corner and how to like look not down like to your front wheel, but maybe like ahead. This really helps me now on the track, or like doing a Madison training. Madison is like a team discipline where you throw each other into or propel each other into a race, where one is racing and the other one is taking a little break. And it's super scary, and like observation and bike handling skill are incredibly useful for that, or imperative for like mastering a Madison. While I would never race a Madison, I think it's way too scary for me, it now helps me on the track when like moving up and down the banking, because I can judge distance and speed a bit better, and I know like when I can dive down and when I wouldn't like take others off and where I wouldn't bring down a bunch.
That is very key.
Yeah. And maybe last but not least, the Velocity Posse skill sessions that we do on a Monday, where we do like slow stuff and fast stuff and riding behind each other and touching each other. And this really just helped me be more like a safer cyclist when commuting through traffic in London. So I would say, yes, it's more fun to do different things, but also like the mental strength. So just knowing that you can push the boundaries of your comfort zone and you can put yourself out there and just embrace it and just have fun. Just this confidence bit, I think, is super helpful for everyday riding.
Thank you, guys. Can we have a round of applause for our speakers? Thank you all for giving your perspectives. I think, Denise, you kind of summed it up very nicely in terms of the different skills that you build, but also the confidence as well that you take into different race disciplines, but also into your everyday cycling. So I'm just going to finish with just a little snippet about myself. So I started cycling about a year ago, and I started racing in January. I had my first race on the 12th of January. I remember the day. It was Lee Valley. About six or seven of us. I was one of very few four cats. And it was one of the best experiences of my life. First of all, when I finished, my derriere, I'm going to put that very delicately, was on fire. I've never worked myself that hard before. I never knew I could push myself that hard. And yes, I got drops. Yes, I got laps. I think I actually might have got lapped twice or three times, but we're not counting. And on the track, I was with a few other women who were just so strong. But every time they lapped me, because they did lap me, they kind of did little shout outs to me, be like, come on, keep pushing, keep going. And I think for me, that sums up women's racing really nicely. It's such an amazing community. The fact that we've got so many racers here tonight who were happy to give up their time to get to speak about why they love racing, their motivations, to answer questions, to socialize with us all. I will be asking you lots of questions. It's just awesome. So thank you again. And so before I wrap up, I just want to have a few kind of things that I want to mention. First of all, we also have some posters with information about future races. If you are motivated and you are inspired by what you've heard today, to sign up. And we also have a small little few seconds from Fair just to talk about some skill sessions, which Velocity Posse will be putting on, which are designed to get you guys up and crit racing.
Thank you. This is a very last minute thing. So thanks to Velocity Posse and our funding from Groundworks, I managed to train as level 2 coach and also a road specific discipline. I just got confirmation from Lee Valley Velo Park that we will be able, Velocity Posse will be running some specific crit training sessions through September, leading up to a go race at the beginning of November. So you don't need to worry about anything like race license or anything like that. You just turn up, do the sessions. They're going to be really specifically focused on crit racing skills, and they're going to advance you quite quickly through like working with a bunch, all different skills with speed. And it's going to be really good, so please come to those if you've been inspired by all of our wonderful participants today.
Wow. Thank you. And we also have some leaflets right at the back, just which go into some of the women's sessions that you've heard at Herne Hill. If you're looking to get into... There we go, we got some great models showing what the leaflets look like. Just if you want to get involved in the Sunday women's sessions, I've been to a few. I can say they are just fantastic. They are great places to learn. I've always been a little bit nervous about the lack of breaks, hence why a lot of questions that I asked were about that. But they're just fantastic for building confidence, being with a fantastic group of women, and I couldn't recommend them more. So now we're on to the socialising. So before we go into that, can I just have another really large round of applause for all the speakers and also for you guys for turning up. Thank you, guys. Now, on to the beers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.